Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in the epistle from 2 Corinthians 6, St. Paul gave us a list of some 30 things that established him and the other apostles as ministers of Christ, that proved them to be ministers of Christ. Most of the things, if you recall, in that long list were hardships. Now, why would hardships establish or prove someone to be a minister of Christ? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Because those are the things that characterized Christ during his brief 3-year ministry on earth. And all the hardships that Christ endured began with his 40-day fast in the wilderness, which we heard in Matthew's gospel today. Matthew tells us that immediately after Jesus began his ministry, when he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness. But why did he go out? It says he was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. To be tempted, for the purpose of being tempted, to be tested, to be tried. That was God the Father's very first task for his newly ordained Son. He had to be tempted because he had to follow a certain pattern, a certain type. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 that Adam, the first man, was a type or pattern of the one to come, of the Christ, who is sometimes referred to for that reason as the second Adam. Well, you remember how it went for Adam in Genesis. We sang about it in the hymn too. Adam was tempted. So the second Adam also had to be tempted. But the circumstances were hardly equal. Adam had no hardships to face whatsoever before he fell into temptation. He was surrounded by an abundance of food in the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness in the world, no suffering, no death, no loneliness, no troubles in relationships, no disease, nothing at all to make him doubt God's goodness or love. The second Adam, Jesus, lived in a world already long plagued by all those things, cursed with all those things, because the first Adam fell into sin and earned the curse for our race. Paul writes, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death has spread to all men because all have sinned. So Jesus is sent out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit so that he could begin to experience the hardships of mankind, not just the common hardships that we all face and Jesus faced in his first 30 years, but now the special hardships of the one who is to be the substitute for Adam, to take all of it on himself, bear it, and suffer it in our place. And it begins with that 40-day fast all alone in the desert. A part of the hardship of that fast was not just going without food. It was the special attention of the tempter, Satan, who tempted the first man in the Garden of Eden and overcame him by a tree. Think about that phrase and that analogy. You'll hear it every Sunday as I chant it in the proper preface before Holy Communion, how the devil overcame Adam by a tree and then later was overcome himself by a tree as Jesus died on the cross. But before Jesus could overcome the devil by the tree of the cross, he had to overcome all of his temptations up until that point. The first temptation that Jesus suffered that's mentioned in the Gospels in the wilderness, we can understand pretty easily. Jesus was hungry after not eating for 40 days or 40 nights. Remember, he didn't choose that fast for himself. He didn't choose to give up food for Lent. God, the Holy Spirit, led him out to the wilderness to be tempted and to fast there in the wilderness. His Father chose no eating for 40 days for him. So the devil plays on that. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. It's a temptation not only to make food for himself, but a temptation to doubt his Father's goodness, to question his Father's love. It's a temptation to look around, see how bleak things look, how hard life is, and to say, you know what? Forget about God. I'm going to do what I have to do for me. It's hard enough for us sinners to face that temptation when the reality is that as sinners, we deserve a hard life from God. A life full of hardships and pain and finally death. We deserve it, and yet we still want to accuse God of being the unfair one or the mean one. Or we simply want to turn our backs on him or forget about his word whenever real hardships come along. Jesus didn't deserve it. Didn't have to endure hardships at all. He suffered even though he was sinless. And still, he didn't fall for the devil's temptation to doubt his Father's goodness. He replied, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Such devotion, such love for his Father, such a readiness to cling to what God says, no matter what his eyes may have seen, no matter who disagreed. We could all use some of that devotion. We could all learn a lesson from Jesus' refusal to budge from God's word, even in the face of hardship and people contradicting it. The second temptation that Jesus faced, as recorded by Matthew, is the kind that strikes when there are no hardships, when things are going fine. Jesus certainly had no compelling need to cast himself down from the top of the temple. But the devil tried to manufacture a need, to create a longing for something, something harmful. Here, jump down from the temple. Here, do something dangerous, something thrilling, something that you'll enjoy, and watch as God sends his angels to fly to your rescue. You'll be fine. That's really the toughest part of this temptation, at least for us to face, the twisting, the misuse of God's word. The devil quotes from Psalm 91, "He will put his angels in charge over you." And then he skips down to where it says, "In their hands they will lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." But the part he skipped over is kind of important. He will put his angels in charge of you to keep you in all your ways. Your ways are the paths that God has laid out for you. The living out of your many vocations, your godly vocations, the opportunities and the good choices God has placed in your path. God has promised divine protection as you live the life he gave you. But if you choose to walk on a way that God has forbidden, for example, a way that God hasn't laid out for you, like risking your life unnecessarily just to prove that God will keep his word, well, now you've put the Lord to the test. You've tempted him, and you've stepped outside of the refuge that he offers. But Jesus didn't step outside of that refuge. He quoted Scripture again. It is written again, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Putting all of Scripture together and knowing God rightly is an essential part of being a Christian. You know how the world has twisted the Word of God to shape God into the image that the world wants to believe in, into a God who lets young men and women sleep together outside of marriage, who lets people not attend church and still consider themselves very spiritual people, maybe even Christian people, who lets people be prideful and condescending toward one another, and nasty toward those in authority, whether on the right or on the left. Go ahead, say what you want. Do what you want. God is love. He would never punish you for it, the devil says. Learn from today's gospel to recognize the lie when you hear it. Learn from Jesus to know God's word well enough so that no one can deceive you by taking it out of context. The third temptation in Matthew's account is the easy way out temptation. It's the, you can be happy, you can be safe, you can keep your job, you can stay out of trouble, you can get along with the world, you can have it all, if you just compromise on God's word just this once. Temptation. All these things I will give you, says the devil, if you will fall down and worship me. Well, Jesus faced that temptation as he faced the others, standing firmly on God's word. Get away from me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. If only Adam had answered that way, everything would have been different, but that's not how it went. So the second Adam had to tell Satan, get away from me, instead of, as Adam did, giving in to temptation. And the devil did leave Jesus for the time being at that point, but he has kept coming back for Christians throughout the ages. For almost 300 years after the time of Christ, the devil kept coming back through one Roman emperor or another, accusing the Christians of atheism of all things because they didn't worship the Roman gods. So the Romans would invent all kinds of tortures, as we've talked about quite a bit recently, and threats and hardships to put the Christians through. And then they would give the Christians a chance to get their life back, to end the torture, to escape death. All you have to do is offer incense to our Roman gods just this once. Deny Christ, say the words, offer the incense, here it is, and you can have it all back. Now, some gave in to those temptations, but many walked the path of Jesus and refused to worship any god but the true God. And just as Jesus eventually had to face death on the cross in service to God, so they lost their earthly lives too. Because after all, Jesus had done it first. Jesus had done it for them, for us. And he promised them that no matter what hardships they faced on earth, no matter how much they lost on earth, they would gain far more in the next life with him. And they believed him instead of believing what their eyes told them. They believed him instead of the devil. You see, this whole business of eternal salvation and living as a Christian, facing all sorts of temptations, is a much more serious business than we tend to make it. It's why we keep coming back to church week after week and in between, because We couldn't hold on to this faith if the Holy Spirit weren't constantly feeding it. He feeds it again today in the gospel by holding Jesus, the second Adam, before our eyes as both substitute and Savior and example and guide. Paul wrote, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." The first Adam failed, and his failure has spread to us in our sinful nature. But the second Adam overcame, beginning with his 40-day fast and his successful stance against the devil. And his victory also spreads to us by faith. But his example also stands before our eyes as believers, to stand firmly on God's word in the face of every temptation. After he endured hardship and temptation for a while, divine help was sent to him in the form of the angels who ministered to him. Divine help will be there for you too, as you endure whatever hardships you must endure to remain faithful to God. Trust in him. Trust in the second Adam, and his victory will be yours over sin, over death, and over the power of the devil. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.